Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today is, who can he be today? David?
Yep. Hey, good day.
I was going to say there's only one he that does co-hosting with me that I know of. So, I think I got it right. We need to give Automated Man a name too. I don't know, the one that does the, you know, Take Two info.
Oh yeah. How about Gus?
What one?
Gus.
Gus. I will never remember that. Well, we'll think of something. But in the meantime, I do believe that we have our guest on the phone. And today we are welcoming actress and model Ashlyn Pierce, which many of you may know her from The Bold and the Beautiful. So let me go ahead and try to pick up this call and see if that's who that is.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Hi. Ashlyn?
Hi. Yes.
Hi, this is David.
Hi. My phone went out for some second. Oh, I heard you saying hello, and I'm saying hello to you, and then it's gone. It was like, oh, my gosh. What a way to start the day.
Can everybody hear me? Everybody good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Thank you.
Yeah, we're good.
And thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Of course. My pleasure.
So did you have a fun day today, or was it a work day today?
No, today is a free day, yes. It's my dark week, so I am actually up in Washington State right now.
You are.
So that's been really fun. Yeah, it's actually originally where I'm from, so getting to spend a little bit of time at home is always nice.
Oh, definitely. Now, you know, I've never been to Washington State. I've been to California, I've been to Nevada and all the surrounding areas. But when I see, you know, Washington on TV, it seems to always be raining. Is that just like in certain parts, or is that something that happens less often than I think it does?
Actually, it rains about 96% of the time.
Oh, my gosh. That is real.
Yes. But thankfully, we're having one of those very strange days where it's really sunny. So I'm kind of soaking it up while I can. You know, even though I live in California now and I get sun all the time, sun up in Washington is just very different. So it's, you know, on the water in Seattle, it's just sparkling, and it's just, you can't beat a sunny day in Washington. So hopefully it'll stay like this. But, yeah, usually we only get about 2, maybe 3 weeks of sun, like actual sun every year. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how anybody survives that. I have a dreary day today in Chicago, and you know, that affects how you feel. But I guess maybe if you're used to it, it doesn't affect you as much. So, and I think that what happened for you this time around while you're there is that you brought the sunshine with you. So when you leave, unfortunately, it might go with you.
that's probably true. But, you know, I think honestly how people cope with the weather up here is, you know, we've got a lot of musicians and writers. You know, so we kind of find things to do that are indoors. But for outdoorsy people, I couldn't imagine.
Right.
but usually we, because for me personally, I mean, I love the sun. That's why I love California so much.
Yeah.
It's sunny. You can't have really a bad day when it's nice and happy
and
sunny
outside. That's so true. That's so true. Well, when I was doing research on you, I didn't find that you lived in Washington, but that's pretty interesting to know. But I did find some other interesting stuff, and that's that you and your sister, which you kind of just mentioned, wrote scripts and acted in them at a very young age. So that started
yes,
with
yeah.
you, like, really, really young. How did that come about? I mean, you're young. You
want
to go out and play,
really
not write
young.
Scripts.
You know, it's funny. I honestly, it goes way back to just, you know, my parents and how they were raised because, you know, when they were younger as well, they would go to double features at the movie theater. And so they kind of did that with us when we were younger. And so my sister, she's 6 years older, she just loved movies. And so she would watch movies practically every single day. And so when she got to the age where she could, you know, read and write, she just started writing scripts. And then she got me involved because she would write scripts for two people. And so that got me interested in it. And so when we got to be, you know, teenagers, we just wrote scripts and, you know, sometimes they would be inspired by, you know, friends of ours or other movies that we had watched. And we would just, you know, put these plays together for friends and family. And sometimes we would film them. And so honestly, I have to give my passion for acting, you know, it's been inspired by my sister and my parents. But yeah, we would write scripts and we usually would put on a Christmas show every single year as well.
Aww.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, and
yeah,
if you
it was
filmed
really,
it
really
I mean
fun.
What great memories you have to pass down to your children someday.
Oh yeah, for sure. And sometimes I actually was watching one the other day, and we had a malfunction where we had this candle and I have really long hair. And I was holding this candle. We were doing our own version of the Nativity story. And my sister was supposed to blow out the candle in the scene, and she kind of, you know, blew it a little bit too, just a little bit too hard. And the fire kind of flew into my hair.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
It was a scene where my dad was like, oh, no, because he was doing the filming. My dad was like, oh, no, oh, no, and you see the camera, you know, change and fizzle and stuff. It was really funny. But yeah,
oh,
we have those memories, so it's really great.
Well, that'll be great to tell your children and your grandchildren, and just keep it going. Who knows? You may inspire the next generation of actors or writers, or you know, both. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I was thinking too, with most little girls that go to movies with their parents, they usually want to be a movie star, because my daughter did that, you know, when she was little. I wanted to be a movie star, you know, right as soon as she could talk. Of course, she grew out of that, but you didn't, and you went on to make a career out of it, which is wonderful. And does your sister act still?
Yes, she actually does. My sister kind of went more of the theater direction. So my parents ended up with a, you know, film and television and a theater actress.
Wow.
She's actually very, very good at Shakespeare, which I have just no talent at whatsoever. so she got all that. But she is just really, really, really good with Shakespeare, and that's its own, you know, beast. And so it's so fun to see her, you know, up there doing anything from The Tempest to Hamlet, and it's just such a fun, you know, fun thing to do. Shakespeare is amazing. So, yeah, both my parents ended up with actors, and we started out as athletes, which is really funny. We kind of both pulled a 180 and became artists.
Yeah, you both were I know you were in tennis, but I don't know what your sister did. Was she taking tennis at that time, too?
No, she was actually a softball player. So she was a softball player and I was a tennis player. And we both traveled around the country for it.
That's amazing. I know that I read you became number one in the Pacific Northwest, and that's a huge achievement.
Yes.
How long did you take lessons for? Were you constantly learning as you played? Or, I mean, once you learn a certain thing to do, then that's it. I played tennis for like 2 minutes, so I don't know much about it.
Well, for me, I my whole life was tennis when I was playing. I mean, it would be 6 hours of you know, practice and then 3 hours of conditioning and then tournaments every single weekend. So I was very focused and very disciplined. And I did that for many years. So when I finally gave it up, it was a big deal, but you know, I feel that it was the right thing to do, and plus, unfortunately, I got an injury, so that kind of helped my decision.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
Yeah. It wasn't great. I tore a muscle in my arm, which was unfortunate. But, you know, I achieved so many things in that sport, and I still play, you know, even though I can't play at that level, I still play just as a hobby, and it's a sport that I can play for forever. But I'm very happy with how things turned out.
Do you go to tennis tournaments or watch them on TV or anything like that? Do you still have an interest in the game?
Oh, I definitely do. I love watching tennis, especially men's tennis. I mean, I love watching women's as well, but men's for me is just more exciting. And my favorite tennis player is definitely Roger Federer. And there was actually a stroke that Rafael Nadal, who was another one of my idols, had. It was a cross-court shot, and I actually really, really practiced, and I feel that I perfected it. And it's a shot that you don't usually see in women's tennis, and so when I would play, I would pull that shot out, and people would, you know, kind of be surprised by it, and it would kind of take me off guard. So. It was my favorite shot. So, yes, I do love watching tennis still.
And it helps if they're cute guys, too, right?
That definitely doesn't hurt.
I would imagine. I don't know who the two guys are that you mentioned, but I know, you know, a long time ago I watched some tennis, and I remember some of the guys were good looking. So, of course, you follow them more than you follow anybody else. So, you know, that's just how it goes.
Sure. Yes, of course. But, you know, honestly, since I am a female tennis player, I would watch the women more, not so much for entertainment, more to, like, watch, you know, their techniques and things like that.
Right.
So when I would watch the men play, it was more just entertainment and fun. So
Right. Yeah, and to pick up that one sneaky way of doing your little
one
thing there.
One sneaky shot, one sneaky cross-court shot. It's so fun to watch, and so I just loved it so much that I had to pull it out, and my coach was like, you know, Ashlyn, that's not a female tennis player shot. And I was like, I know, that's kind of the point. It'll throw them off guard. So
yeah, exactly. You would think he would tell you to keep doing it, you know. That's a good thing to do. But anyway,
for sure.
Back to acting, when you moved to California to pursue your acting career, I mean, did you start out with acting classes once you got there or go right into auditions?
You know, I did start with acting classes. I went into a group class and as well as, you know, an on-camera class. And my mom, you know, she was amazing because she did all of her research and found me some really, really great acting classes. And so, you know, things actually really happened very fast for me as soon as I got there. I mean, I got an agent and manager and started auditioning probably after the first few months, which was really great. But, yeah, acting classes, I feel, are very important for any actor to go down.
Yeah, definitely.
Be there. For sure.
Did you take any kind of improvisation classes?
You know, I didn't in the beginning, but then after I kind of started auditioning more, I got into Second City acting classes, which were absolutely fantastic. I recommend, you know, them to anyone. Just because it helps you kind of, I don't want to use improvise because that's, you know, obviously that's what the class is for, but also kind of
right.
it frees
foundation.
You in a way. It allows you
more foundation for you?
Yeah, foundation for sure. I mean, it kind of allows you to just become the character and kind of get out of your head, which is really great. And for me, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so, you know, it was a great class for me because, I am a serious perfectionist. And so it helped me kind of just, you know, free myself from the perfectionist bars, let's say. So that was very good.
What was your first professional acting gig, and what did you take away from it that you use now?
Well, that's a really great question. Let's see. My first big acting role is this role that I have now. I mean, I had done, you know, short films and independent films, but this for me is kind of, in my opinion, my first real big job. And so, you know, what I take away from this is just, Like I said before, allow yourself to be free in the role. Don't think about it too much. You know, allow yourself to just become the character, and don't be afraid to be silly or look, you know, in a way kind of, don't be afraid to embarrass yourself is probably what I would say and what I've learned from the show, you know, because it really frees you. Because it's not, it's you, but it's not really you when you're acting.
Right.
And so don't be afraid to just look silly and try things, because, you know, sometimes the best magic is made when you slip up a little bit or when you try something that you wouldn't normally try. So that's probably what I would say.
Yeah, I could understand that. Now, when it comes to memorizing, since this is your first big gig, I mean, do you think that from you writing scripts and having to memorize things with your sister helped you with your job now? I mean, because there's many, many, many pages you guys have to learn.
Yes, I would definitely say that has helped. You know, even when I was really little, I would just memorize, because I'm also, you know, very interested in history as well. And so I would, you know, play games memorizing with my sister, and we would, you know, memorize books together and memorize lots of different things. And so that really kind of helped as I have gotten this job, because, yes, we do have to memorize quite a bit. And, you know, something else is I have a very easy time memorizing, which is rather helpful. I don't know if I would call it a photographic memory, but
mm-hmm.
memorizing comes pretty easily to me, which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, considering what you do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Memorizing is very important. but, yeah, I would definitely say that you know, being a lot younger and just kind of learning how not to get overwhelmed and to just take it, you know, sentence by sentence, really helped as I got older.
David, you had a question?
I did. Honey, what is it like working with Winsor Harmon as your father?
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love him. He is one of my favorite people to work with. He is hilarious. He brings so much energy into the room. And you know, it's funny because he reminds me a lot of my dad, and so it's always been really great chemistry between us. And, you know, he just makes me laugh. That's probably one of my favorite things about him, is that he's just very funny. And so we'll be on set, and we'll be doing, you know, a very intense scene, and you know, something will happen where we have to stop, and he'll just crack a joke, and we'll just start laughing. And it's so easy to work with him, and he's such a talented man, and I have so much fun working with him.
You do really play well off each other.
Yes, it's we have pretty good chemistry, if I do say so myself. But I don't know. He was actually one of the first people that I worked with on the show, and I remember him just, you know, putting my nerves at ease, and you know, giving me pointers. Him and John McCook, who plays my grandfather, both of them are just such wonderful people. And so I feel very blessed to be able to work with them and have them play family members.
That's good. Okay. My next question is this. First off, I want to say that both you and your character, Allie, are my heroes.
Aww.
I admire how yes, I do. I admire how much she tells it like it is, and how she slowly overcomes her bullying nightmares. So my question is, how did you incorporate that part into your character? I mean, have you ever witnessed any of your friends being bullied at school, and how did you handle it? And
well, let's see. I myself actually was a victim of bullying. Even though I was homeschooled, I was still very social. And, you know, because I was a model for 6 years now. And so, you know, for me, I was able to incorporate my own experiences into my character. And, you know, I'm really glad that this is the character that I have on the show, because it really, being able to use those experiences in a character, it was just so wonderful, because it adds so many layers to her. And, you know, it was really great for me, because my experience with bullying, you feel very alone, and you know, even though I handled it differently than Allie, because Allie, you know, had a tendency to lash out, where me, myself,
yeah.
I, you know, kind of took a step back from it. It's still very hurtful, and I think that it's wonderful to show what bullying can do to someone. And I, me playing a character that had been bullied, a lot of people can relate to that. You know, a lot of people have been bullied, whether it be, you know, cyberbullying or bullied at school, and it's nice to know that other people, you know, have gone through the same things that you're going through. And so with Allie, you know, I try to make her as real as possible so that people can look at her and feel, you know, like, okay, there is someone that is going through the same type of thing. So, yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good that you know, she's a loved character. And you know, for me, if I know that people out there are, you know, what's the word, you know, just feeling that there's, like I said, like feeling like there's a person out there who's feeling the same things as them, it makes me feel very good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry that you got bullied. I know what that's like. My youngest son has gone through it because he's special needs, and it's not anybody should never, ever have to go through that. I mean, I just don't know why people have to be so vicious, but thankfully, this is something that's being spoken about more in the public, and, you know, there's more ways to get help for somebody that is being bullied, and also for the bullies to get help themselves, because they're not doing it just to be mean. There's reasons behind why they're doing that. So thank you for sharing that with us.
It's very, very true. Yeah, it's very true. You know, a lot of people, I think, kind of forget that you know, the bullies probably have some, you know, problems of their own, and that's why they're lashing out. And so, you know, for me, I try to look back at my experiences and not, you know, have a grudge against these people who did this to me or you know, have, you know, any sort of resentment, because I, you know, try to think that they have issues of their own and they're dealing with, and you know, so thankfully for me, I can incorporate my past experiences into a character into a positive way. And I think that that's what's so great about the arts, is that, you know, if you are being bullied or if you are having, you know, issues like that, you can incorporate and get out your frustration or get out those feelings into a positive way.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lot of kids don't have that to do, you know. Maybe a lot more of them should go into acting and take on the different roles.
And it can
to
be
get
anything.
That out of
it can be anything.
Right?
It can
sports,
be drawing.
You know?
It can be poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Writing.
Definitely. Yeah. Writing. Exactly. And unfortunately, with schools cutting back on programs, those are the ones that are being cut on. So, you know, I also see a lot of people, actors in particular and musicians, you know, trying to get that back into schools and not cut that, because that is an important part of life and helping them mature to be the people that they need to be. So they can't just do
for
reading,
sure.
Writing,
I totally
and arithmetic.
Agree with you.
So, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Agreed.
I also wanted to find out, when you auditioned for the role of Allie on Bold and the Beautiful, did you know what part you were auditioning for?
You know, I knew that it was Allie Forrester, but they didn't give a lot of description as to who she was. And so I did my own research and kind of, you know, read about the family history. And but the description of who she was as a person was very minimal. So that kind of gave me the license to build my own, you know, version of that character. And it's interesting because the material that I went in with audition wise is very different than what my character turned out to be, which is really, really interesting.
Wow, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I really had no idea what I was in for when I got the role, because there was no talk about, you know, Allie having a dark side or things like that. I'm sure that was in Brad's mind, but it definitely wasn't in mine. So
right.
It was a fun surprise for sure.
Definitely, definitely. Now, did you audition with anyone in particular from the show, or just do a reading with whoever was doing the auditions?
You know, I had a couple different auditions, but my very last audition, which was a testing, was with Scott Clifton. So he was my scene partner, and it was really fun to play off him. I'm very glad that I got the role and continue to be able to work with him, because he's so much fun. You know, he brings so much into each scene, and so, you know, being able to have him, you know, acting with me in my testing kind of put me at ease in a way, because I really was there with him. You know, it was very easy to mm-hmm. slip into character when I was playing opposite him. So it was really great.
Yeah, he's definitely a great actor. I enjoy watching him. I've actually watched him on General Hospital when he was on there, and was happy
yep.
to see that, you know, when he left there, that he went to The Bold and the Beautiful, because I do enjoy his acting. And my daughter was happy because she had a huge crush on him. And she didn't even watch the soaps. I went to the mall with her and my husband, and I think one of my sons might have been with us. But I went to the mall to go see Scott and Jason Thompson and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, I can't think of his last name. He was one of the Bachelors. Gosh, Bob. Well,
oh,
I
gosh,
can't
I can
think
picture
of
his face, but I can't think of his last name.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
know who you're
either.
Talking about, though.
Yeah. He was the MC of the show, but they had kind of like a, you know, a question and answer thing going on over there at the mall, and my daughter saw Scott, and she was taking all kinds of pictures of him, and it was so cute, you know. So then she kind of watched on and off when he was on the soap. He was on General Hospital at that time,
yeah.
So that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she grew out of him and went on to somebody else. I don't know who she likes now, so.
Well, that's how it goes, you know. I know that.
She
feeling.
Was young. She was very young.
It's funny, because, you know, girls, it's like they can have crushes, and then the next day they'll be on to the next person. And for me, it was like when
yep.
I was really young, it was Aaron Carter.
Oh.
Oh,
yep, the Carter boy. She was into him, too.
Yep. Well, hey, I mean,
you might
he was
be.
A really, really good musician.
Definitely, definitely. My daughter is 24. You probably are around the same age as her then, right?
Yep, I'm 20. Mhm.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little bit younger, so, but you still like the same guys. So he was just good. I mean, and he's still doing concerts now and making music. So, do you ever follow his career
yeah,
anymore? Yeah.
You know, I actually, I mean, I hear him now and again, but I don't follow him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's kind of more bands like McFly or Panic at the Disco or Fall Out Boy that I kind of listen to now.
I like them too, and so does my daughter. There we go. We're going to keep it going.
They're really great. They're really great musicians, those guys.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Do you sing?
I do, actually. I have recorded a couple different songs, and I just recently sang at a charity event that Carla Moseley put together for Covenant House, which was really exciting for me because I had never actually performed on stage before. So that was very exciting. It was very nerve-wracking because I have a bit of stage fright when it comes to singing. But I, you know, got up there and I sang for the first time, and it was absolutely incredible. So, you know, hopefully I'll get the opportunity to sing at some more events. And I'm actually, at the end of this year, I'm going to be singing for a charity called Saving Innocence, which will be great. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, maybe since you and Oliver and Pam and, oh, my gosh, here we go. I forgot his name.
Charlie.
Pam's boyfriend's name.
Charlie.
Why do I can't remember his name all the time? Maybe next time you go to the Renaissance Fair, instead of Oliver being on a horse, you can get out there and sing to him or something.
I would be totally into that. I would love that. That'd be really, really, really fun. I would love to sing on the show.
Yeah,
I mean,
I want to see that.
It'd be really fun.
That maybe you should mention it to them. Say, hey, you know, guys, I do sing. Let's do something.
That'd be cool. It'd be really fun. My voice is kind of like a mix between, like, the band Perry and Taylor Swift of a very country sound to me,
wow.
Which is very funny. Yeah, so it would be really cool to sing on the show. I'll have to drop a couple hints, maybe show up in some, like,
yeah,
you know, Western outfit and kind of sing a little bit walking by Brad's office.
Yeah.
I think he'd like that.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Renaissance fairs, had you ever gone to one before you actually did that on the show?
Oh, yes. I actually went to that specific Medieval Times every year growing up. Even though I didn't live in California as a young person, my parents would take us to Disneyland, Medieval Times, and Universal Studios every single year for just years and years.
Oh, wow.
And years. So it was an incredible experience to be able to work there because I had such a love for this place, you know, ever since I was a little girl. I mean, I still actually have a carnation that was thrown to me when I was about 6 years old from Medieval Times. Yeah, so funny enough, it was actually the Yellow Knight that threw the carnation to me.
You're kidding me. Oh, my gosh. That must have been like deja vu for you.
Yeah, I was definitely having flashbacks. It was an incredible experience being able to, you know, work with, you know, all the young men who work there every day. And I had no idea what goes into what they do. I mean, they were, you know, they're there every day and they're working and practicing. And, you know, those weapons that they use are not, you know, they're not light.
So, right.
It's an crazy amount of strength to be able to do what they do. And it was so fun to be able to work with them and walk around the arena, which I had seen, you know, so many times before. It was a surreal experience, but one I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those. I think it's a quirky little thing to throw in, you know, kind of showing a little bit more than just the LA business part. And yeah, sometimes, you know, they travel out of country and do shows there and that, but this was different than things that they've had on Bold and Beautiful before. And I really enjoy watching it and seeing that, you know, Allie has this thing that she loves to do and was kind of afraid of telling Oliver about it because she didn't want to think him to think she was kind of goofy, you know. So
you know, that's what
I love
so much about my character. That's what I love so much about her is that she's got so many layers. I mean, she's
mm-hmm.
quirky, she's super nerdy, she's, you know, bashful and innocent, but, you know, she also has this fire to her and this confidence. But when it comes to Oliver, you know, it's her first big boyfriend, you know, her first real boyfriend. So,
right.
You know, it's so adorable. I love the dynamic between Allie and Oliver because it's like, even though he's, you know, a little bit older than her and has a little bit more experience, he's allowing her to be who she is, and he really enjoys her mm-hmm. as a person, and so it's so refreshing, you know, to be able to have those kind of embarrassing moments and those nervous moments and see that, because that's what a lot of young girls go through, you know.
Yes,
what do I do? I have this thing that I like. I mean, for me personally, it's Doctor Who. I'm obsessed with Doctor Who, and so, you know, it's kind of a nerdy thing, you know. I can just fangirl about it, as they say. And so, you know, what I've learned from Allie is to just be who you are, you know, embrace those weird things about you because, you know, at some point you will find that guy who will really enjoy those things about you.
Yep, and let you be yourself and not try to change you. That's the best thing.
That is definitely
mm-hmm.
the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your work as Allie, I mean, has been so wonderful. I've really, really enjoyed it. A lot of the fans, you know, you have a million fans. I see them on Twitter. But you were also nominated for Outstanding Younger Actress in a Drama Series for the Daytime Emmys, which means they love you too. So what was your initial reaction when you heard it, and what did it mean to you to be nominated?
Well, I wasn't actually nominated this past year. I got the pre-nomination, which which for me, honestly, was as huge as you know, getting a nomination, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Because,
to me, I think it means the same thing, but they recognize you.
Yes, it was absolutely incredible, honestly. I mean, you know, I went from an actress who was, you know, auditioning all the time and you know, being constantly, you know, presented with, you know, failure, to be honest. And then finally I get this role and, you know, I get a pre-nomination, which is just day and night, mm-hmm. you know, to be perfectly honest. And it was an incredible, incredible feeling. I mean, I remember waking up and getting all the tweets from fans and my co-stars being like, you know, congratulations, you got the pre-nom, how exciting. And I just remember sitting there in kind of awe, to be perfectly honest, because I just, you know, even though you aspire to be something, once you finally kind of get there and you make these amazing strides, it feels so amazing, and you just, there's honestly no words to describe how excited I was, you know, to be recognized for something that I just loved so much. You know, so it was an absolute great feeling.
And I'm sure your family was over the moon when they heard about it, considering, too, you know, like you said, this is your first big job.
Oh, yeah. They were so excited for me. My mom, you know, immediately took me and my sister, you know, out to dinner. And it was such a great experience, because my mom moved down with me when I was, you know, when I first moved down to California. And so she and I have been working hard for this for a very long time. And so to be able to say, oh, my gosh, I have this amazing role and I just got pre-nominated for a Daytime Emmy, it's an incredible mm-hmm. feeling, because you have, you know, sacrificed and, you know, spent so much time working towards something, and to finally make those strides is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it probably confirms what you're doing is what you should really be doing, in a way, you know what I mean?
For sure, for sure.
Now, did you receive any advice either from someone on the show, on The Bold and the Beautiful, or from someone else about being an actress that you'd like to pass on to others just starting out?
You know, I've gotten so many, you know, wonderful pieces of advice over the few years that I've been acting down in California as well as on the show. And honestly, for me, the best advice that I have gotten is to just be in the moment. When you are doing a scene, just allow yourself to be free in the character. John McCook actually said that to me one of my first days, was just, you know, don't think too much. Just be in the moment, and it's about you. Allow yourself to you know, shine in the spotlight. Don't be afraid to be confident. Don't be afraid to shine, you know, because this is your moment, and take it, you know. And so for me, mm-hmm. it's just breathe, you know, breathe. One of my favorite.
Yeah.
Because for me, you know, I get nervous, you know, when I'm on set sometimes.
Right.
And so for me, one of my favorite quotes is breathe, smile, and go slowly. That's one of my favorites. And if you just remember those things, it, you know, will help you, you know, and just live in the moment.
Well, that's wonderful advice for all of those out there that are just starting, because they may not have even gone on one audition yet and, you know, will be a nervous wreck. So,
yeah,
you know, that's something that they can take with them for those that are out there listening that, you know, are going to be an actress or even a musician or whatever else they're going for that you have to audition, you know, for something. So, and you know what?
You know,
you can use that in life too.
Oh yeah. And you know, another thing that I would probably say as an addition is don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't do something. You know, if you want to be a musician, if you want to be an actress, if you want to be a writer, if you want to be a scuba diver, whatever it is, if you are passionate about that thing, never let what anyone says don't let that deter you from going after your dream, you know, because there will be naysayers and there will be people mm-hmm. who will try to put you down. And sometimes those people will be people that we look up to or that we believe, you knows what they're talking about. And so, you know, take everything that you learn or everything that you hear with a grain of salt and just keep moving forward. You know, because for me,
yeah.
like being in the arts, something that I heard from a friend of mine was the people who don't make it in the industry of acting are the people that give up. And so that kind of stuck with me forever. You know, and if you really do have that deep-seated passion, don't let what anyone say, deter you from going after it.
Exactly. Words of wisdom, Ashlyn, words of wisdom. I mean, that's what parents try to instill in children as well. I have 4 kids, and I told each and every one of them when they would tell me, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be this, and I tell them, you can be whatever you want to be, but you just got to work for it. Nothing's going to be handed to you on a silver platter. You
nope.
got to work for it. You really want to do it. You'll make it. You'll be what you want to be. So, yeah.
And there really are no overnight successes. That's the other thing is a lot
no.
of people think, oh, this actress, booked this movie and then she became, this huge star. And there that happens very, very rarely. A lot
right.
of times it's that these actors or these musicians even have been working and working and working and doing small things and just really, really, really trying hard. And then they get their big break and that's what helps them. But it's never an overnight success in any field. Honestly, you have to work hard and you have to allow yourself to make mistakes and to, stand in the face of failure and keep going, because
yeah.
there's this one quote by Truman Capote that I really love. It's something like, failure is the condiment that makes success wonderful. I'm probably completely ruining that quote. But it's basically saying like success without failure is kind of boring, to be honest, because it's about the journey. It really
right.
it really truly is, and there are going to be strides that you make that you get those amazing moments where you have reached goals. But the majority of it is failing and trying again and failing and trying again, and you learn, and failure is where you learn. And so you just have to mm-hmm. allow yourself to make mistakes.
Exactly, exactly. You are wise beyond your years, woman.
You are.
Well, thank you. I owe it all to my mother.
Yeah. That's why we always say, listen to your parents, but a lot of kids
mm-hmm.
don't learn that until they're older. So, and then they start telling, once they start having kids and they start talking like their parents are like, oh, wait, my mom said that, kind of thing.
it's very true. And, for me, like I'm someone who learns from experience. And so I would get so mad. I still do this. I will, want to go do something and my mom will say, Ashlyn, that might not be the best idea, because this might happen. And I'm like, oh, mom, no way. I'm not going to let that happen. Don't worry. And I'll go and do that thing. And of course, that thing will happen. And I'll come back and I'll say, mom, how did you know this was going to happen? She goes, well, because I was young once and I know that. And so from now on, I kind of try to listen to what she says, because parents they've had a lot of years, they're not far off with what they're
right
with what they're thinking,
True.
But that's all kids. I mean, they all think that way. I know myself. I did the same thing. Oh, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to be like my parents. I'm never going to say that. And you know what? No, that's not even true. That's something that's instilled in you. And when you get to be older and do what you want in life, you find that you're more like your parents than you thought you were. So.
No, it's very, very true. And thankfully, for me, like, my mom and I have always had a very close relationship. So, she's such an incredible, strong woman. I would love to be like my mom when I get older. So I'm very happy that I have the mother that I do.
Yeah, well, I think you're definitely on that road now because you sound
yeah.
a lot like her from what you've said. I wanted to acknowledge your modeling that you brought up earlier. You've done quite a bit. You've been pretty successful as a model, doing things for Target, Coke, Forever 21, magazines
yep.
like Vogue, Elle, Harper's Bazaar, and more. Now, how did that come about, your modeling? I mean, when you got to California, was that when you started that?
No, actually. I started about 6 years ago, and I actually was getting headshots because I was very interested in acting from, you know, like I said, a very early age, and so I was getting headshots. And the photographer of the shoot took a couple pictures and said, oh, my gosh, you know, have you ever been interested in modeling? And, of course, you know, every girl has thought about becoming a model, but never,
of course.
You know, for me, I never actually thought about doing it. So I was like, not really. And he was like, okay, well, would you be interested, you know, in letting me send a few pictures over to this agency that I know? And I was like, yeah, of course. And so, you know, the rest is history, to be honest. I mean, I signed with that agency, and then I, you know, booked my first job was, I think it was Kohl's. And so I did that. And from there, I did everything from, like you said, Starbucks, Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. I've worked for all different types of people. And it's been such a cool experience because I was homeschooled. You know, it was a way for me to be social, and I got to travel. I went to Japan, which was a really cool experience. And it was really great for me because it also helped with acting as well, because modeling and acting in a way go hand in hand because you are in front of a camera, but it's just you have to show and portray a character and an emotion in a still shot rather than, you know, video. So it helped me a lot with that, and also being confident in front of the camera. And modeling was a very, very great experience for me. I met so many wonderful people, and I'm still friends with some of the clients that I've worked for, and I met some of my long-term friends in modeling, which was fantastic.
It sounds like such a fun thing to do, and I think that's why girls want to be a model a lot of times, because they get to have their pictures taken and they get to travel, mm-hmm. and do, you know, hang out with their friends and things like that. But I know there's also a lot of hard work that goes behind that. Did you learn to model as you did it? You know, I mean, did anybody give you pointers, like the camera guy or something?
You know, it really was, you know, I just kind of learned as I went along. I never really enrolled in any sort of like modeling classes. I just kind of learned by trial and error and just like looking at the images. And thankfully the photographers that I worked with in the beginning would allow me to see the images as we take them. And so it was a very, you know, collaborative experience. And you know, for me, like modeling is a really great thing to be able to become confident, you know, because you are up there and a lot of times you do have to emote confidence. So that was really great on that front. Yeah, you know, modeling, it's actually not as easy as a lot of people think. You know, you see images and you see the final results and it looks, you know, it's like commercial work. It looks like, you know, they're just standing there. But it's also, you know, you have to make the clothes look good as well as know how your body looks, you know what,
right.
angle is the best for your face, and you know lighting, and know where the photographer is, and you know, and all those things. And so it's definitely something that you get better at over time. And even you know, for me, something that I always look at in pictures are hands, because hands can look very awkward sometimes. And so I remember when I was modeling, I kind of made an effort to make sure that my hands always looked soft, as we call it in modeling. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that was something that, you know, I took ballet for, which was helpful because it kind of helped me kind of, you know, just learn how to, you know, move very fluidly and, you know, be very feminine, you know. So it was definitely a lot of hard work, but it's very, very fun. It's very fun.
And you're still doing that now, right?
I'm not as much as I used to. You know, I've been very, very busy with the show. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It's definitely something that I'll probably get back into at some point. But for me, modeling, although it was such a fun experience and it was, you know, it's a great career to have, acting was always my number one passion. And so modeling
right.
helped me, you know, pay the bills, which is great.
Yeah.
Right now I'm kind of focusing on the acting side.
Well, we're very happy that you chose to go into acting. We absolutely love you on The Bold and the Beautiful. And we look forward to you being on there for hopefully a very, very long time. And just know you're welcome. Just know that soap fans will follow you wherever you go. Once you become a fan of an actor or an actress, that's it. We follow them. So wherever you end up, you'll know that we're behind you.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Really great. That makes me feel great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we're going to let you go now. We want you to have some fun while you're out there on vacation. And we want to thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot
thank
of fun
you.
Speaking
it was an
with
pleasure.
You. Thank you. David?
Thank you so much, Ashlyn. It's
thank
been wonderful.
Thank you very, very much, David. Thank you. My pleasure.
You're welcome. And we'll see you hopefully on Monday's show.
Okay, sounds good.
Take care of yourself. All the best
take
to you
care,
in this
honey.
One.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye bye. Oh, what a joy. She is so, so intelligent and so wise and so talented. I mean, I just absolutely adore her. More so now after speaking with her, you know?
I do too. I would love a daughter just like her.
Right? Right? Yep, definitely. Well, I tend to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Prejudice. I think that my daughter is somewhat like her, but she needs to grow a little bit more. But she's getting there. She's getting there. She's on her way. Sometimes it takes others, you know, longer time to be more independent and more mature, even if you are a girl, because they say girls mature faster than guys. But sometimes I think that's only physically, you know. So, well, thank you, everybody, for listening today. We really enjoyed speaking with Ashlyn. And I think, let's see, I'm going to say, I know what I want to mention. We were supposed to have Paul Karafotis with us on Thursday, October 2nd. Unfortunately, his mom passed away, so he will have to reschedule that. So we'll be back again, so far that I know of, on October 7th with Keith Keller, who is going to tell you why Twitter is your greatest tool in succeeding in business. So that should be an interesting show. And David, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Well.
Thank you for all you do. And with that, good night, everybody. God bless, and we'll talk again soon.
Good night, all.
Get connected with Take 2 Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take 2 Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.